want to stop the globalist plan to kill everybody. We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance, rallying humans worldwide against the satanic threat, the alien threat.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to Alex Jones.
Friday, April 3rd, 2026. I am your embattled host coming to you from deep in the heart of Texas, Austin, transmitting worldwide. All right, I'm going to spend the third and fourth hour on humanity's origin story. To understand the present, you must know the past and the beginning. And if you believe the Bible, if you believe the Sumerian text that are carved in stone, if you believe the Egyptian text, if you believe all the books of the Bible that they confirm were written after Christ's death, but pulled out, it's War of the Worlds, baby. But the church does not want you to know that. Both the Orthodox and the Catholics. And it is a fact. And it is what the establishment knows and what they've been keeping from everybody. And 100%, all this high technology, all this stuff you see being set up, all the direction of this, the humans you see that appear to be in control are not in control. Satan is in control. The prince and power of the air, for we fight not against flesh and blood, but against off-world entities. Read it. It's in the Bible. Pull it up. New Testament, Old Testament. And what's in the Sumerian text, the Epic of Gilgamesh, the Anunnaki? It's the same story in the first book of the Bible. And boy, have you heard of this before? All about a global elite working with the off-world aliens, and the aliens decide that the humans, there's too many of them, and so they re-engineer us to be slower, stupider, infertile. What does the Old Testament tell you? That people were living 800 years on average. But then God, or the gods, cursed us and engineered us to only live 75 on average. Well, that's the Epic of Gilgamesh. That's the Sumerians. And now that they've been able to translate the older Egyptian hieroglyphs, it says the same thing. So take a look around, boys and girls. You're not in Kansas anymore, and you never were. But there is so much baloney loaded into all of this and so much disinformation. But we know that with the genetic engineering and the level of science we have, this has been a phenomenon for 20 years. Nobody's an atheist anymore. Nobody thinks that salt in the ocean just turned into life. It was all put here. Nothing on this planet is from this planet. This planet is a giant research facility. And it's had different owners and different groups. And you go to the ancient Indian Vedic text, 3,000, 4,000 years old, the oldest copies they found and things carved in stone. And all of it is mathematical equations that they now are able to translate that are super advanced on energy and sound, everything else. Oh, and the Indians have the exact same stories. So, Let's go ahead and start getting into it a little bit right now, but then I want to get into the current political things that are unfolding that are so incredibly dangerous, like thermal nuclear war. But I'm going to do a deep dive with Dark Journalist, but I've got a lot of exhibits of my own and things I want to play when he joins us. But you know what? Let's just go ahead and play a short little video, a little prelude from a video I saw on X a few days ago with just a little snapshot of the Epic of Gilgamesh that they couldn't translate till whatever it was like 80 years ago, and then they found the decoding stones that explained how to decode it, and man, it's like reading a science fiction book, but it's not. And you notice the science fiction books before all this came out basically already told you this, because the Nebula Society and all those science fiction organizations and groups set up by H.G. Wells and others admitted that they were predictive programming and controlling society and leaking out hidden knowledge, but with their spin on it to the public. What he wrote, Things to Come, in the 20s? They made a movie out of it in the 30s? High budget? H.G. Wells? And he wrote a lot of nonfiction as well. He was a head proto-globalist. And he talks about out in the year 2020s, the time we're in now, there's a global government. It has B-2 bombers that look just like a B-2 bomber that fly around dropping atomic and hydrogen bombs on any country that won't submit to the world government. And the scientists control everybody, and then everybody basically are turned into robots after that. And yeah, you got medieval paintings and Aztec carvings and Japanese paintings about flying saucers everywhere. And the star that leads the three wise men to baby Jesus. The birth with no man involved, the virgin birth. Sounds like wives' tales until you realize that it's ancients watching this happen and writing it down. And then you go, oh, and you pull back. And then you really know what it is. So here's a little boil down. And again, if you've never read this, this is carved in stone. Thousands and thousands of stone tablets. Well, they found actually millions of them now, literally. They just keep digging up whole giant areas, just tens of thousands of carved tablets with the Sumerian text on it. And it's just all about the details of the caste of aliens and the guys above them and then who they work for and all the rest of it. And then you go through all the other cultures and they're saying the same thing. So let's go ahead and go to that short clip as a prelude of what's coming up.
Humans existed, the Agigi gods had to do all the labor down on Earth for their rulers, the Anunnaki. But after somewhere between 40 and 3,600 years of digging rivers, they got fed up with the work. So they gathered outside the home of their boss, the god Enlil, to formally express their discontent. Enlil then called over An and Enki, and they came up with a plan to create some new workers to relieve the Agigi of their burdens. They sacrificed Awila, the leader of the rebellious Agigi. Way to take one for the team, Awila. Then the mother goddess, Mami, yeah, I know, right? Came and mixed his blood with clay while the other gods contributed their saliva. Next, she chanted magical incantations over the clay mixture while Enki kneaded it with his feet. Then she pinched off 14 pieces, and after 10 months in the oven, out came the first humans. They went straight to work on creating civilization, and all seemed well for a while. But after about 1,200 years, the human population had risen so high that Enlil couldn't sleep over their collective noise. And he called up Namtar from the underworld, commanding him to thin out their numbers. And so a plague was released upon mankind, causing countless people to fall ill and die. But an extra-wise man named Atrahasis prayed to his god Enki for salvation, and Enki told him how to end the plague. Under the god's instruction, Atrahasis told everyone to stop praying to the heavenly gods. Instead, they made a shrine for Namtar, which they lavished with offerings of bread. And Namtar was so ashamed by all this undeserved praise that he lifted his plague. After another 1,200 years, the population rebounded, and once again became too too noisy for Enlil's liking. So he told the storm god Adad to withhold his rain. And a severe drought came over the whole Earth, bringing humanity to the brink of starvation. But Atrahasis, who was built different, I guess, once again prayed to Enki. And under his instruction, he had everyone bring offerings to Adad, shaming the god into releasing his rain again. Eventually, Enlil got fed up with Enki foiling all of his genocidal schemes. So he announced he'd bring another, even greater calamity upon mankind, and made Enki swear not to warn any humans. Sure thing, I will not tell any human about the apocalyptic event that's about to befall them, or instruct them on how to survive it.
Okay, good.
Yeah, anyway, I gotta go do a thing, I'll be right back. Heed my words, Wall.
There's about to be a flood over the whole Earth for 7 days, so if you want anything to survive, you're gonna need a really big boat with, like, a roof on it and bitumen to make it watertight.
So yeah, just giving you a heads up about that, Wall. Okay, later. Oh my gosh, how's my Wall supposed to build a boat? And so Atrahasis built a boat according to Enki's specifications and loaded it up with his friends and family and his workers and pairs of every wild and domestic animal, just in time for the flood to come and wipe out all other life on Earth. After 7 days, the waters receded and the gods looked in horror at the destruction Enlil had commanded, and they despaired at the loss of their servants who fed them and tended to their needs. But then they caught the fragrance of a burnt offering made by Atrahasis, who survived the ordeal thanks to Enki's advice. After feasting on the sacrifice, Mommy admonished the gods who helped Enlil commit genocide, and she dedicated her jeweled fly necklace to the memory of the tragedy. Hey, what's he doing here? Enki, did you find a cunning loophole to the vow I made you swear?
Yes, I did. You're welcome.
Why, I oughta. Hey, do you have any leftovers? I'm actually starving. So Enlil decided to allow mankind to propagate once again. But to keep the population in check going forward, the gods decided to put a limit on people's natural lifespans. And they made a portion of all women barren, and instituted a class of chaste priestesses. Oh, they also created the baby-killing demon Pashi-
And it goes on from there, we'll air more of that later. But that's been dug up all over those ancient sites, and remember the Jews were held captive along with other groups by the Egyptians that were going along at the same time nearby, you know, just 800 miles away or 1,000 miles away or so, less. And then they had their own writing, and then they wrote about it in Genesis, which is essentially the same story. And then there were, what, four books of the Bible that folks decided to cut out of the Old Testament, a couple out of the New, confirm books, and it's all about that. All the books about that, you don't get to know about that. And the preachers always tell you the Bible's literal except the parts in Ezekiel and Daniel and Revelation and Genesis that talk about all this. But you read the other books, which I intend to do on air soon, or the key passages I was reading again this morning. It's fascinating. It's just unbelievable, folks. And all these ancients said, all the different cultures said, oh, the Egyptians have huge underground bases under the Giza Plateau that's much bigger than what's on the top, and now they've scanned it, and it's all true. And they're trying to now keep people from actually going in. And even governments are coming and saying, we want to pay to go in. Nope, can't go in. So, but a lot of these languages got lost. We rediscovered them in the last, you know, 80 years or so, 100, there's been a lot of discoveries. Couldn't read most of the Egyptian stuff either, and it's all the same story, a little bit different here and there. Jews tell the same story, Egyptians, the Babylonians, the Sumerians are the biggest and the oldest. The Persians tell the same story, the Indians tell the same story. And, I mean, I was reading some of the Vedic texts over 3,000 years old, and that's ones that they just have copies of where it's in stone. It's older, obviously. They say 12,000, and that's what when Plato said all this was going on. Well, he said 10,000, but that was 2,000 years ago. And then they go and look at the ice records and everything, and that's when these big calamities didn't need to happen. They think there was this big multi-comet event where this comet broke up and hit all over North America, interestingly enough. And now they're digging up all these giant pyramids and stuff across the United States that have been obliterated, but they're now with topography scanning radar, they see the cities, and they're really having trouble keeping it quiet. Turns out the East Coast used to be pretty busy before, too. Turns out Florida used to be real busy. Texas, real busy. Latin America, Mesoamerica, real busy. Turns out the Mayans, Mayan culture, the Toltecs, the Olmecs, and the Aztecs that came later, same people, different structure, government, more vicious. Turns out that stuff happened, but it got turned into legend. And so it's primitive. It's humans now basically living in huts trying to describe what was handed down to them. So you have the story of the Anunnaki from the Sumerians about mixing different parts of the gods' genetics together and then making man and woman. And then you have in Genesis, God taking a rib from Adam, who he'd made, to then make the woman. So, Bible's literal, right? Yes, it's written to be literal. And people that don't know the history or the background or all that's been discovered now can laugh at it, but they continue to find everything the Bible says is there. And it's funny. Plato said where the Spartans lived, or Spartans in the Spartan War, the war with the Trojans, where the Trojans lived. But before that, they weren't even sure the Trojans existed or where their city was or where their island was. But right where Plato was, archaeologists never found it. And then they finally, 30-something years ago, found a giant city that had just been basically buried in some later flood. And it was all there, Troy, just like Plato said. And Plato said tens of thousands of years before, there had been two cities. Atlantis was two. One was Atlantis, another name, that again got hit by a giant fireball out of the sky. There was also an explosion. Two different stories, different events. And destroyed it, and that it had flying machines and automatons that humans would be inside of, huge robots, mechanical machines. And now with the ground penetrating radar and all of it, it's just they're finding cities and things everywhere. But we're just awash in disinformation. None of the real stuff gets magnified. All of the BS does. In the last 6-7 years, the Pentagon flipped a switch and put all these fake intelligence operatives in front of Congress and to go on all the podcasts to flood the zone with disinformation. All these ancient cultures and the Bible tell us that there are dimensional realities more real than ours. We now know with mathematics that's true. And that our minds are able to connect to that electrochemically, which they are, that our brains are transceivers, all of our cells are, and that we're given messages through the ether. And that's what all the different cultures would do, was rituals and hallucinogens to have group hallucinations, which there's no such thing, that it raises the veil, so that you can now see beyond, because your brain already sees it. It filters it out, and you can only see a limited light spectrum in the third dimension. But Elon Musk has talked about with his company, this has been around for a long time. I remember seeing documentaries on PBS when I was a kid about it, where they could put wires into people's brains and start giving them limited sight. But now with computer programs that can train the brain, they can do it very, very quickly. Even if you never had sight before, they can wire somebody up and give them sight if they had it before, because you already have the patterns in your brain to have sight. But if you never had sight, it's very hard. But now they have computer programs where it goes in and it starts with a very easy dot matrix with the brain training on it, and then adds more pixels. And within 6 months, a year, people can see. That's available to everybody. They just haven't decided to deploy it to you. And as Elon has said in talks, they can hook somebody up to those and show you infrared. They can hook it up where you can actually see radioactive emanations. You can turn your brain up, and then you can see everything. In fact, your eyeballs, when you are in utero as a tiny fetus, grow out of your brain. They say the eyes are the window of the soul. Your eyes are brain tissue. Your eyes are stalks that grow out of the brain. And so your unconscious, and and subconscious sees everything. But the DMT, the ayahuasca, goes in and lifts the veil. But God doesn't get involved in free will. So when you take DMT, all that is going to appear to you is bad entities because they're violating a rule of God to try to manipulate us in the third dimension because we're babies, we're children. We're supposed to be allowed to chase the butterflies and run to the park metaphorically, metaphysically in this short lifetime, this test. But they're there to sabotage and manipulate and get us off track. And again, for 100 years, but even longer, they've had the intelligence agencies taking this stuff, doing this. They have the equivalent of astronauts that they send in to map it. I told people this many years ago on Joe Rogan. A year later, they declassified it. Indeed, they were doing it with DMT drips. Remember? I, by the providence of God, repeatedly was able to listen in on people involved in a secret project at the time based in San Francisco. When I was a child, I was blessed repeatedly to be at the right place at the right time as God would have it, that I would hear that information. I didn't even understand it at the time until later. And I've told those stories. And of course, the stories are proven because years after I talked about it, exactly what I told you came out. And they have these shamanic events all over the Caribbean, you name it, where, depending on how much money you have, the rich people go and they close off old pyramid sites, you name it, they'll have the shaman there, and they take the DMT or they take the ayahuasca, and then upwards of 30, 40 people are seeing the same hallucination of entities coming out to talk to them. That's not a hallucination. That's the veil lifted. That's the filter lifted. God put the filter there for a reason. What does the Bible tell you? The basis of the occult and Satanism is pharmakia. The gateway to it is the drug. We'll be right back with the current war news. We have it all. Ultramethylene blue, we have the best. The Shilajit, we have the best. The turmeric, we have the best. We have the best spike protein, pro cardiovascular, ultimate life force. The best Irish sea moss gummies and capsules. Incredible. Research for yourself. We have the best at theultrastore.com. And if you buy any of them, they're 50% off when you sign up for auto ship. Cancel anytime. And you guarantee it never sells out. They hold it back. You get 50% off on future orders. And anybody that downloads for free the Android or the Apple app, you find both links to it at alexjonesapp.com. It's free. You get an additional 20% off at checkout on top of that. Now, I had to convince Bitly to do this. They were a little skeptical because they like to give you good deals, but not this good because it's loss leader when you use the app. But because we have an 80%+ reorder rate on things like Ultramethylene Blue, it's actually working because you get it, you love it, and you keep ordering. So these are great products. I want to induce you to try them. You know our information's hardcore. Try the products. It's just as hardcore. 1776 worldwide. We will crush the 1984 globalist system. God bless you all.